This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
The following contains graphic depictions of body horror. You are listening to Tales from the Guild, Shadows of Paradigm. This is part 20 of our story. If you have missed the other parts, you can find them on freefm.org.nz or on your favourite podcast distributor. When we had last left our heroes, they had received permission to investigate further into the history of the ancient civilization they had discovered, and were about to head over to the Memoria Sanctorum to do so.
Are there things to buy at the Memoria Sanctum?
Yeah, there's
the library.
There's a lot of food carts and restaurants around.
And I assume they do a reasonable trade in magic items.
The Memoria Sanctorum is primarily a giant library and archive and research facility, but it's also filled with people, so there's a lot of food. There is a small commercial district in the center of it.
Ooh.
Think of it like a small university city.
I was thinking of it like a university. So there's bookshop with really, really heightened prices, lots of food places, and merch.
Yeah.
Memoria Sanctorum t-shirt.
And there's an unhealthy amount of pubs.
Yes, lots of
like
pubs.
An unhealthy amount because students.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Interestingly enough, the Sanctorum is not a school. It is not a place that has students and stuff.
Right.
It's where you go once you graduate university.
Right.
Amethyst is just like, well, that's good 2-day travel from here. So you guys can leave now if you want. Protavnik's in. You guys can take him if you want.
Oh, I'd love to see Protavnik again.
Lovely chap.
Lovely chap. It would be lovely to see him again. And annoy him again.
We don't annoy him.
Given that this is a research trip, might I suggest leaving some of your stuff in your quarters?
No.
Doesn't even have to think about it.
You can tell me to do all the kinds of things, Armadeus, my friend, but leaving all of my essentials behind is not one of them. And I'm also taking this. And she's holding the bit of troll stone.
Right. Well, I'm glad you all made it back safe, and I think this was a simpler mission than what you all went on last time, I think.
Well,
considering what you learned, maybe not.
Well, yes and no.
We're just going to be doing some reading, right? You're going to be doing some...
Yeah, we're
going
to be doing some read and write.
Hey, Armadeus is going to be doing a lot of reading, and he's also going to be reminding us how to do a lot of reading and writing.
I've been working on my reading. Magnus is actually a pretty decent reader.
Oh yeah, he's a poet, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He tries to write poetry in his spare time.
Yeah.
He reads a bit, but
so
can't help being goofy.
Slowly push these two out of the office to where Amethyst write a letter to the Empress.
Lovely to see you again.
Yes.
Goodbye.
And you guys head back towards the nest area where near the airstrip where you guys know Protavnik is presumably. And as you enter, are hit with the smell of dragon dung and all dead scales.
Oi, oi, oi. It's a rough place to be. All right, let's find him nice and quick.
I mean, Protavnik is easy to find. He is the red dragon that looks quote-unquote naked.
He's the weenie one.
Yeah, he's the one that lacks ridges, horns, or spikes, or anything like that.
Streamlined. Aerodynamic. Fast. Protavnik.
Protavnik, glad to see you again.
Oh, it's you three.
Yes, hello.
Yeah. Oh, it's lovely to see you, Protavnik. Are you all free to take us on a little trip?
Yeah, just got back yesterday. So, yeah, I'm rested and ready to go.
All right.
Yeah, well, we're heading to the...
Where are we going? I haven't been told about any trips.
Going to the North Pole.
No, we're not going to the...
What?
We could go to the North Pole.
No, we're not going to the North Pole.
But that's like months away.
No, we're going to the Scriptorium.
Memoria Sanctorum.
Memoria Sanctorum.
The book place.
Okay.
We just got back ourselves and... We've got some stuff that would be of interest to the...
Nerds.
Nerds there.
Does that have to do with this? And he kind of pokes the...
Don't touch that.
Be careful not touching
like,
it.
It
do be hot.
Tip of the claws.
He poked it with his tail.
Oh, no.
There is the curious look of, is that what hot feels like?
Yes, that is what hot feels like.
Oh,
I've burned people.
I did
this. Is terrible.
It's just like, he's a red dragon, so he's immune to fire. But he's not immune to radiant damage.
Yeah.
Yes, this is one of the things we'll be taking for them to have a poke. look at. It's a religious artifact.
While we all get settled up and ready to go, why don't you tell us about the other missions that you've been on recently?
Well, I flew you in and then you flew back, which was quicker without being... I'm sorry, you're really heavy with all of your stuff.
Aye.
It slows me down a little.
I tried to get over to leave some of it behind, but
it's
she
fine.
Was insistent.
Well, I took some people down to Ishaga.
Oh.
All right.
Nice.
And,
sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, some people were talking about corpses popping out of the swamp.
Oh.
That's concerning.
Isn't that where you came from?
Yeah, maybe after the scriptorium, I can take you back to my place where I grew up. I can show you the hut.
Wow, a whole hut, huh?
A whole hut. We had a whole hut. It was kind of a big deal.
Sure.
Yeah.
Fine. Anyway.
Dead people swamp. It's a thing.
Do they normally raise up out of it, though, or is that kind of unusual?
I don't feel like there was a... No. No, dead people usually don't wake up.
Bodies floating up after coming loose from, like, whatever's hot.
But undead is not normal.
Like, it wasn't unheard of for a body to suddenly regain its buoyancy after coming loose of whatever was holding
bodies,
it.
Bodies.
Yeah.
Seems like the dead simply aren't staying dead at the moment. Anyway, I'm all settled up for Davnik. Are you ready to go?
I guess it's good if we crash, we'll probably wake up again.
No, don't crash, Padavnik.
What?
Don't worry about it. You're a good dragon.
I apologize. We've had
a long week.
A weird couple of days.
Okay.
So don't worry about it, my friend. Let's just get all my associate stuff all attached.
It's already attached.
And we can get moving.
Right. Okay. So we're heading off right now then?
Aye, if that's all right with you.
Hold up. Let me just put... He grabs his box with his mouth and just goes over to where presumably his nest is and deposits... See that he pushes it way in the back of his nest and places it down and comes back to y'all. Right, now I'm ready. Let's go.
All right.
He has this big, big smile on his face. You get the idea that he really likes flying.
Yay!
I'm happy to help him with that.
Yeah.
Oh, I love this guy.
You guys like me, the others make fun of me.
Oh, they don't know what they're talking about. You're the firstest one out there for Davnik.
I will take your word for it. And you guys head off.
Yeah. It would take one day or 2 days with Davnik.
2 days in the fact that you have to stop for rest once.
Yes.
Speaking of, during that rest, can I get you guys to repeat those wisdom saves?
Oh, do I get that +5 again?
Yes.
Oh.
It's another 14 from Magnus.
You actually get a +7 this time.
It's +7?
Whoa.
Let's do it with a different dice. Roll good, not bad. 9.
Don't worry then. Don't you have proficiency in wisdom saves?
No.
You're a paladin. Paladins get charisma
saves.
And wisdom. Yeah, wisdom save.
Sorry, I thought you would. It was thought it
but
was a wisdom
it's
check.
Still, it's still a fail.
It was a wisdom check, not a save.
Oh, that's fine. What did Amadeus get?
No, 19.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
Cool. Nothing out of the ordinary.
Just those moons again.
Everything's as it should.
What about you, Magnus? What did you get?
14.
Oh.
Cool. Everything's as it should.
You say that, but I suspect
we love everything being normal. Does Amadeus, he's generally not excitable person, but is he feeling a little bit excited to get back?
The closer we get, the not so much excited, but energized.
Right.
Because it's his natural environment. His libraries and corridors and books. That he's lethargic or anything, it's just...
This is his interest.
Yeah, he's getting ready to go back into his element.
Yeah.
On the next day, the first thing that you guys notice is the canyon. The Warscar Canyon. This massive gouge into the earth from the end of the Mana Dorn's Rebellion during the final battle that ensued, where a powerful, powerful wizard cast a spell that was purely experimental at the time and just tore the ground asunder, killing thousands on both sides of conflict.
And that guy's the head librarian at the...
The caretaker of the Sanctorum.
Yeah, caretaker of the Sanctorum.
Because the Sanctorum is also his prison.
Yes.
Yes, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the Memoria Sanctorum has this giant, essentially monument to the people who have died. Who died during Mana Dorn's rebellion. Significant portion of which is dedicated specifically to those who died in the creation of this canyon.
Did you ever get to meet him, Amadeus?
No. I've seen him from a distance.
Whoa.
But never met or interacted with. Before being press-ganged into the Durnia, I was relatively low on the proverbial totem pole.
Yeah.
You know, I was a junior adjunct assistant.
Yeah.
Such and such.
You're one research of the catalogers fellow. For the most,
yeah.
most part. You're an intake. It was your job to read and catalog everything that came in.
And and occasionally I'd get attached to like a research group as a gopher.
Yeah.
Or a...
It sounds like the cataloging, Amadeus's favourite. Having to do gophering for research group? Mm-mm.
No.
yeah. After about an hour or so after the first sight of the canyon comes in, built atop the cliffside on the right-hand side of the canyon, comes into view the Memoria Sanctorum. This decently sized, looks more like a fortress than anything, with high walls, several buildings, and then there is this large section that is, from the sky, looks empty, but you notice that there are just these neat lines, which Amadeus would know that's the Memoria Mortis, the monument to the those who died.
Yeah, we'll point that out and...
Whoa, so cool. Oh, this place, oh, it's really cool. I see where you like to work in here, Amadeus.
Indeed, it's...
Whoa.
Yeah. It is rumored that should the Sanctorum ever get attacked, the wizard that acts as the caretaker will have his bonds loosed and he will be once again allowed to perform his magics.
But only for the duration of the attack.
Yeah.
And then as soon as it's over, it shackles back on and he goes back to his prison sentence.
And as such, it's part of the reason why the archives were selected to go here. Basically, it's just this is where one of the most powerful people in the world is, who is bound to this location by the gods.
We want to keep our history here.
Yeah, we're going to keep all of our information here.
Because no one's going to attack this place lest they get
vaporized.
Yeah.
You want to know why not to attack this place? Here's the evidence.
Basically, the equivalent of the American saying, don't touch our boats.
Yeah, part of the curse on this guy is that he's effectively immortal.
Do we land a little bit away and have in?
Basically, there's main fortress bit and then this bulbous walled off bit jutting out the side of it, which has stables for Grungir and the occasional horse of the particularly rich fellows, the occasional griffin, and from time to time the true dragons that swing in, and that is where Pradavnik lands.
As Tanwyn is offloading Pradavnik of all of her stuff, she'll go, what was the name of that wizard? The one that lives here, it's William or something, isn't it?
Wilhelm Greek.
Wilhelm Greek.
Wilhelm, get him to the Greek.
No! Do not say that!
I would very much appreciate it if you did not make a mockery out of my name.
Oh! Armitage, please tell me that was in my brain and you didn't hear that too.
Oh no, I heard it.
No, I don't want to turn around. It was really scary.
Sir? Okay.
You've seen him. No, you've seen him before. Tell me that's just one of your friends pulling a prank. I haven't turned around yet. Standing
behind her, about 3 or 4 meters back, is indeed one Master Wilhelm Greek.
Oh no, it's
him. In his usual attire, which is a sleeveless black robe, but he has over top of it a apron and is holding in his hand like a broom mop thing. As I said, he's the caretaker of this place. It's his job to keep it clean.
Sir?
Yeah, he looks to be like this late 20s, early 30s human with black medium length, wavy hair, and a very well-groomed goatee. And then the evidence of the binding curse that the gods have put on him is evident on his arms as these chains of arcane runes from wrist to shoulder covering his arms. If you didn't know better, they would just look like really dope tattoos.
Tanwyn kind of winces at Magnus and Amadeus, and then she turns around and she says, hi, sir. Pleasure to meet you. I didn't think that...
It's not unusual for him to be essentially near the stables cleaning it up around this time of the day.
Tell me, he wasn't just like in a tower or something. I thought he was in a tower or something.
I did say that he was the caretaker.
I don't know what that means.
He's a groundskeeper.
I used to bash metal into shapes for a living.
I'm sorry, Wilhelm. This is a mere sight for me. I apologize.
It is all right. What brings you back to the Sanctorum? And does it have anything to do with the great ball of fire that is floating behind your head?
Partially, yes. We work for the Durnia.
Obviously.
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 I'm very much aware of where they took you when they ran off with you. I may have my powers bound, but I'm still fully aware almost fully aware of everything that happens within the Sanctorum.
Indeed. Well, we've picked up some interesting bits of information and books and artifacts, points up at the ball in terms of artifacts, and items pointing to the Trollstone shield and Trollstone stuff that both my companions are wearing. Mm-hmm. And I thought it might be of interest to more than a few people at the Sanctorum. And I also wanted to do a little bit of research because stuff has been popping up with some interesting regularity, and I am wanting to look at a few things.
Well, the Sanctorum is fully open to the Dernier, as you are well aware. As for any books that you are wanting to bring in, you know, take them to intake.
That's the point.
Magic items, take them to science, magic, and theology.
I know the drill.
I would hope so.
Yes. I spent enough time here for the people to drill the procedure into my noggin.
Good.
So I will leave you to keep on keeping on, and I will take my compatriots with me.
Hey, before we go, you've been around the block.
Yes, I am coming up 332.
How exciting. You ever heard of someone called Nekomara? Cavort the Conqueror, maybe?
Once or twice.
No, that's interesting.
Well, he might be kicking about at some point on this plane of existence.
Right.
At some point in the future. He's on a interdimensional world tour.
What did you do? Because the only references I've had of those names is in reference to the tyrant god that several of the dwellers have run from.
Nothing!
Well, there's a...
What is sure we're doing something?
There's a... We found a prophecy written by the troll civilization that used to inhabit this island, or this land, before us, written in common, modern common mind, not giant, that he...
The prophecy referenced the name Unkshu, not Cavort Onara.
The name Unkshu, that we think might be related to Cavort the Conqueror, we think, but that was part of why I wanted to come and have a chat with the academics here. But we found a prophecy that...
You came across a troll that's going to get the history lot drooling at the mouth.
Okay. That's what we thought. That's why we're here.
I thought archaeology and history might be... It's going to restart the old feud again, but...
They are fused at this point. I had enough.
Fair enough.
I may be in charge of looking after the grounds, but I am also technically the boss, and sometimes I get to throw my weight around.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
So, like I say, I'm going to be having words with history archaeology about that, because that raises questions.
Right.
And
it was lovely to meet you, sir, and it was lovely to meet you. Shall we?
Yes.
Shall we?
Like I said, thank you, Predavnik. Nice to see you again.
Good to see you, Predavnik.
And
I can't believe I said that in front of him.
The entire time this guy has had this straight, very controlled, slightly dirt beneath my boot kind of look on his face.
And once we've said goodbye to Predavnik, say goodbye to the Wilhelm, and I will shepherd these to first to intake to deposit the books and the ingredients and that I found.
So the Sanctorum is made up of five wings that you know. Intake, things are brought in, books are read.
And everything is catalogued and stuff.
Before getting sent to transcription. Transcription, copies of things are made, and then originals are sent to storage, and then copies are copied and
put in general circulation.
Yeah, and then there's the fiction wing, which just has all the various works of fiction that have been found.
I'm assuming there's a similar thing to what happens in current day, that most books that get published, a copy gets sent here as well, just as a repository.
Yeah, and then there's the science, magic, and theology wing, and then there's the history. It used to be history and archaeology wing, but now you just see it just says history.
So
when I was growing up, Nash, there was always people who would come through and, I'm a big writer, here's my play, and it was always, and then they'd put on a play, and it was always shite. Are there people who come here and they're like, here, this is my book, I wrote it myself, and I want to put it in here, and you read it, and it's just crap. Do you still have to intake those?
Any book that gets published throughout the Empire, a copy is deposited here.
So even the shite ones, you still have to put them in?
Even the terrible ones get deposited here.
What's the worst book you ever had to do? Did you do transcription? What's the worst book you ever had to do?
When I first arrived here, all the new arrivals here got off in transcription and intake. Basically, transcribing work, and then you eventually graduate out to one of the other departments. But yeah, basically as a test of if you can suffer through this, you can suffer through anything that we can put you through.
In answer to the question, there is a worst book that you can think of. It was a book that catalogued birds from the continent of Meritamen that was enchanted. The enchantment was supposed to do make the bird call of each particular bird as you turned to the page.
Oh.
It broke after the first page, so it was stuck making the bird call of first bird in the book the entire time, and you'll never forget the sound for the rest of your life.
That must
there's,
have...
there's a bird called the Oslonian Silverback.
Aye.
Whose call still haunts my dreams.
And you don't even dream.
Well, haunts my waking moments. I can still hear it to this day. Nice. And it has been over a decade.
Aye.
Needless to say, the transcription of that book did not have that enchantment.
A strongly worded message was sent to the book's original publisher and its creator and said, please don't. Please do not. Yeah. So, yes, worst book I've ever transcribed.
As you guys are moving, this place is full of life. There is just people, archivists, visitors, just people constantly moving about. But more than people, there are creatures moving about. Hundreds of familiars are running to and fro between legs, carrying bits and bobs, some retrieving food and drinks, and some carrying scrolls and books and writing utensils. And then there are all the bookworms, these small cat-sized parchment-colored dragons that live in libraries and archives that just, they're kind of like rats that you can't get rid of them. Some people breed them. If there's a depository of books and parchment, eventually you'll have bookworms and there's not much you can do about
it. Now, Amadeus is not the most physical type of person at all, but he moves through the library like a fish. This is his natural element. He'll occasionally pull and yank and shove and, you know, as we're moving through, chest at Tanwyn and Magnus to be like, no, don't worry about that.
As this is all happening, can I get you all to make perception checks?
Ooh. 17 for Tanwyn.
Nice.
16.
Only 23 for Magnus.
Jeez. Only. Jeez. Only.
Magnus, you full on see one of these bookworms just fly above the crowd, dive, and then yoink a book out of a unobservant archivist's hands and just fly off with it.
Damn.
That happens.
Tanwyn, what was your result?
17.
High above one of the shelves, you see this ferret familiar with a scroll strapped to its back just kind of climb up, and then another familiar just zooms, tackles it into the familiar, and they start scrapping over the scroll that's on his back. Apparently, whoever owns the two familiars are rivals working on the same project. And Amadeus, with a 16, you feel someone actively shoulder check you, and as you do, you feel your tome get a little heavier.
Hmm. His magical tome?
Yeah.
Or... okay.
You look over your shoulder to see who that was, and just lost in the crowd.
I'll just quickly pull out the tomes.
You notice that the cover of it is slightly different now. The gilding and styling of it has changed slightly. Like, your memory's good and you know that it doesn't look like this. And then you figure out why it doesn't look like this, as the title has changed from Encyclopedia of Everything Volume 1 to Volume 1 through 8. And as your patron item has upgraded.
Oh, shit.
As you have come to the Memoria Sanctorum, which was one of the conditions to upgrade your item.
Oh!
Nice!
It now gives you a +1 bonus to spell attack rolls and saving throws. And your save throw DC.
Okay.
And you can now cast Legend Lore once per day instead of once every 1d4 days.
Wow!
Oh, boy.
That is
going to
get abused.
This is a mystery intrigue campaign. Abuse it.
Yeah, all right. I will quickly edit that. All right. My stuff just got upgraded. Huh, excellent. Never mind. All right. Like I say, I'm deftly directing these guys through the traffic.
So where are you heading off to first?
Well, I'm going to intake.
Intake. The lady at the reception desk is the cartoonish depiction of a nerd. The thick, insanely short-sighted people have hair tied up in like this tight, hyper-professional bun. And she's just like, yes, how can I help you?
I have stuff to deposit.
Excellent. And what is it all?
I like the recipe books, the unopened jars of ingredients, The
Magnus goes over and takes the one out of Tanwyn's bag that she had.
And yeah, so let's start. Basically, a copy of the prophecy that we found, all the drawings and stuff of the various murals, and basically all of that stuff I will deposit on the desk.
Right, excellent.
Regarding ancient troll civilizations that used to live here, apparently.
Right, well, we'll take the written works, the jars and
keep the jars. Please keep the jars.
No, I've got to have some of that on toast. It's delicious.
Are you sure it's safe?
Oh, yes. It's been sealed up. 1,000 years of fermentation.
It's safe. We've opened a couple.
She belongs in the history department.
We're going there next.
Speaking of, take those there, please.
Directly? Okay.
Yes. You should know this. We only take written works in.
Yeah, I know. It's just, I had to get that out to get to the books.
Fair
so
enough.
Put the jazz back in the bag, and then we'll head to the history department.
Yes.
Was that one of your friends from back in the day?
Yes, yes.
Oh.
Like you say, I worked in the intake department for a long time, and she was, she manned the front desk, as you can see, and yeah.
You're listening to Tales from the Guild, Shadows of Paradigm.
Anyway, we go to the history department.
Yes, and as you bring out the stuff from this long-dead society, all of the heads that are nearby just turn.
There you go. Also, we have fieldwork.
You just see a bunch of them just start looking at each other. Some of them look like they're about to go stop someone. Some of them are full-on vibrating in excitement.
I know that feeling.
You know that the ones that are about to just explode are the archaeologists.
Yes.
We get to start our department's back. Department's back, we got work!
So, I will explain about the various troll places that we found for them to poke with a stick.
Please take some fighters with you. We found evidence of parasites, huge ones. Undead, they're there.
The stuff that you're saying is just making the archaeologists even more excited.
I'll give them a rundown of what we found, where it is, you know, general Cliff Notes overview of what's going on.
Caston's Fall, of all places.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. And we found his body, too.
Oh.
We got him buried. Don't worry about it. Don't dig him up. I'm being so serious. This is not... It's like, not history.
I wasn't thinking of it. He was definitely thinking of it.
I'm being so serious. No, this is official Dernier stuff. He was a very sad ghost right up until when we buried him properly. So leave him
but
there.
Sad ghosts are the best.
No, leave him there. He was crying and all. And he's not history.
Gosh, Dave, why do the Dernier get to do all the cool stuff?
Have fun with that.
All the former archaeologists look so ready. Several of them have already run off to go get their stuff.
They're already putting on their cargo short.
And with that, having dropped that bomb on the history department,
I
will go over to theology and the like to drop off the orb.
Yes. The entire time, the heart of Incant Ra has been drawing attention because it's a floating ball of rolling fire.
Yes.
It has been safely above everybody's head. A few times a bookworm or two has attempted to fly at it, only to get close enough to hit the heat barrier and go, no.
Yeah.
No.
Basically, yeah.
Sizzle.
I may look like parchment. I'm not that flammable, but I don't want to test it.
Yeah, so like you say, we'll head over to the theology desk in that department and be like,
how long does it take to move from department to department?
Like 10, 15 minutes. Oh. It's kind of like a university-sized campus.
Right.
Just so what you would expect for travel around a university to be. Right, there is this snooty elvish man at the desk. How may I help you today?
I present to you the Heart of Incant Ra as I bring the orb down and forge it between the two of us.
And what, pray tell, is that?
It is a religious artifact given to an ancient troll civilization by the sun god Incant Ra.
Right. Okay, so are you wanting to take this to theology or magic?
I think theology,
yes.
Right? I think theology.
It's both.
Right, I will. He reaches into a drawer and pulls out a pair of sending stones. It's just like, head of departments, you have guests at the front desk. Please come to the front desk.
What's your name?
Sullivan.
Oh, it's lovely to meet you, Sullivan. How long have you been working here?
Can we call you Sully?
No. 264 years.
Whoa!
Nice.
You must have seen a lot of people pass through here.
Yes, and you are nothing spectacular.
Okay, I wasn't implying that I was anything special, but now I'm feeling a little bit offended.
Good.
You get used to it.
You used to work with this guy.
No.
Oh.
Sullivan has a reputation for being a stick up his ass.
But Sullivan here is well known to intake.
I'm sure he is.
Yes, so, they get ideas of grandeur and I have to keep them in their place.
Okay, it's just like your place has been behind this desk for 250 years.
No, just the past week.
What's he normally do then?
Other stuff?
He just roams around being a dickhead to people.
Pretty much, yes. AKA at least 40% of the faculty here.
You guys must have a really good union.
We don't have a union.
Yeah, I was going to say. I tried that once.
We technically fall under the statesman. We are a government facility, technically, but just meh.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to regulate a bunch of people that use stupid amounts of magic.
Yes, and they all think they're fantastic for it.
And so do you enjoy your job here, Sullivan?
I love it. Degrading the people who think they are so high and mighty is the highlight of the day, which is why I have asked to be reception from now on.
I've come back around on this guy. I like him again.
Yeah. Sullivan grows on you. Or he doesn't.
Like a weed.
Something like that.
Nasty, nasty weeds.
So, yeah, we'll...
Just waiting for the heads of department.
Two people eventually come down. The first to arrive is a tiefling woman with scarab blue skin and entirely white eyes and lustrous gold horns and white hair.
Whoa. So almost my opposite.
Yeah, and she just...
It's a tiefling.
Full on goat hooves and just full on skips in. Right, now, who do we have here? This woman's name is Marion.
Is she magical theology?
Theology.
Ah, Marion. Amadeus, these are my compatriots. I bring an artifact of interest as I float the... this is the Heart of Incant Ra, an ancient deity of troll origin from the ancient sun god Incant Ra.
Any idea what it does?
Yes.
It fires powerful lasers.
Touch it, and then here's that. And stop a good half a meter away from it. Right.
Unfortunately, to get it to do that, you need a follower of Incant Ra, and one assumes that there's not many, if any.
Oh, we get to break it in. Lovely.
Yes.
Okay, hold on. I don't know if we've ever said that we're giving it to you guys, but we're bringing it for examination, not for keepsies, I believe.
Well, presumably...
Armadeus! Stop giving away all of our powerful artifacts!
As you say that, the head of the magic department comes in. He is this gnomiest gnome that ever gnomed.
triangle hat?
Not quite. It is a conical floppy hat.
Yeah.
Tenwin's talking about the pointy hat, and Magnus is like, that's actually a really harmful stereotype. If people have about gnomes, then the gnome turns around, you see the conical hat, and Magnus is like, okay.
Not all gnomes have pointy hats. Oh, that one does, though.
This guy is a little under 2 feet tall. He's got a knee-length beard.
Big nose,
big ears.
Hell yeah.
And these
dirt
just...
under his nails, because he's a gardener or some bull.
He's got ink on his hands.
Yeah.
But other than just being the most stereotypical gnome that ever gnomed, he has these gnomes have a lot of large facial features, but his eyes are just these giant pools of green. Right, well, what do we have here?
Oh, you're
an ancient trollish artifact.
Gnome's name is Gibbon.
Gibbon.
Ah, nice to see you, Gibbon. Ancient trollish artifact, the Heart of Incant Ra, and I'll send it down so that he can have a bit of a look at it.
Don't go too close to it. There's a heat thing going on, and it's quite ouchy to touch.
Right. Well, he reaches into this reasonable-sized pouch for a gnome, but so tiny for everyone else, and just pulls out what looks to be an ordinary stick, and full-on just taps it. And interestingly enough, the stick doesn't ignite.
Oh.
So what does it do?
Oh, I'm glad that didn't ignite.
If you can find a follower of Incant Ra, it fires laser beams.
It gives them the powers of the sun.
Pretty much.
He repeats the thing that Marion said, so we get to break it.
I like the idea of breaking it.
Yeah, sure.
I don't.
It's a heretical artifact.
I don't think we want to break it. I think we want to just maybe keep it.
Tenwin.
Break it.
Tenwin.
Break
it. If we break it, you could forge it into something new.
Okay, I think we need to clarify. We need to clarify what we mean by break it. Break its rules of attunement. is what we mean. So, like, if so, anyone can.
This is kind
use
of
it.
Like when my cousins told me they would burn my game CDs, and I thought they meant burn in a fire. And
no, you know, break it in like you would break in a wild horse, Stanley.
Oh, yes, yeah, that's what the rich people do, don't they? They don't breed them to be docile.
Horses are very
well. It's a case
just
of
just like this, I suppose.
Basically, instead of only what they're planning to do is take it and make it so that you don't have to be a follower of Incant Ra to use the fire beam.
And then you're going to give it back to Amadeus, right? It's property of the Durnya.
At the very least, we'll be sending it back to, or at least getting someone else from your organization to take it back if you are not around to do so. Yes. Miriam speaks up. Yes, I imagine it will take a fair bit of time. Godly artifacts are temperamental at best.
Oh, I have a bad feeling about
this. Let's say, I'm not currently attuned to it. I'm not sure how I'm controlling it currently. It seems amenable to my instruction thus far.
Right. This is again Miriam speaking. I realize they have, at least in my head, they are sounding similar.
They are a little bit, but you're fine.
Let me try something. And she just kind of effectively pushes her will onto it and actually does move it away from you.
Yeah, there you go.
It is, well, at least it follows around. And
it can also fly at a reasonable speed. When we picked it up, we flew on griffins from Kerstin's Fault to Vanhold, and it was able to keep up.
It was zooming along, rapid pace. While we're here,
well, adding the heat that it gives off, if anything else, we can turn it into probably one of the most devastating launch projectiles in existence.
And I was able to, at night, I was able to turn down the intensity of the light.
It's quite a nice roll-in campfire. I'd really like it back because I've got a really cool experiment for forging things on it. I think it would make a fantastic movable forge.
Right, so
so you could be like a traveling, like a traveling sword maker, a traveling armor. You know what
Smith,
I mean? Yeah.
The word.
I got too excited and I forgot the name of what my profession is.
It's all right.
But I think it would be a really good thing for smiths to have.
I can see that. We'll, if you're willing to let us take it off your hands, you three are down here, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
It says it on our tabards and everything.
Well, on your tabards, I'm wearing normal.
While we're looking into this, would you be able to look into something for us?
Sure.
Oh,
could be nothing, it could be something.
That's how most of our missions start.
We're used to nothing that could be something.
It's just a few archivists have disappeared, but, you know, that happens. They could be holed up in some corner researching. We've had a few bookworms disappear. Again, it happens. They'll pop back again later, usually with a clutch of hatchlings. But the really concerning thing is we've had a few familiars disappear.
Oh, that is concerning.
And not answer the call back.
All right, where were they going? And
last we heard of all of them, they had gone to storage.
Which storage? Which one?
Storage.
Which is where all the originals.
It's storage is one place.
Oh.
It's where they keep the original copies of books are kept.
Oh.
It's.
It must be massive.
It's one of the most precious areas of the entire Sanctorum.
How long has this been going on, then?
Aren't entirely sure. As we said, archivists
disappear and reappear all the time. It's one of the pitfalls of the job, but the fact that it's the familiars that are disappearing that are concerning.
Yeah.
How many of them are gone, approximately?
Last count, 6.
All from your area or from other people's places?
A couple from fiction, but mostly from around here.
Oh.
4 archivists have disappeared.
Unknown amount of bookworms.
Unknown.
From memory, it's always been a right pain in the rectum keeping track of those guys.
Yes. They disappear and come back. There's 50 more of them now. And
Is the same old person in charge of storage as it was when I was here? Or?
Yeah, should be.
All right, let's go have a word with storage.
I mean, we haven't exactly been down in storage in a while.
Yeah, no, it's been a minute since I've been down there.
Should be, which is fairly. Unless, of course, you're falling over, then you're liable to be trampled.
Yeah, outside of R&D, pretty safe.
Can we stop off and get some lunch on the way?
Yeah,
there's bookworms everywhere. Just eat one of those.
Ew.
I think that
probably tastes like paper and old socks.
You can cook it on the sun if you need.
We're leaving the sun
here. We don't have the sun anymore, Magnus!
We could bring it back to cook it.
We don't have the sun anymore.
If that had been with me, it never would have been taken it. But Armadeus trusts you, which means I trust you.
Well, go have a look at storage. Have fun with it.
There is just kind of smile of research is being given a new toy.
I know that look. Anyway, let's go...
to lunch.
First to lunch.
Yeah, you know that you are not allowed to take food into storage.
Oh, hell no.
Is there a cafeteria?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
All right, well, that depends. Do you want cafeteria food or do you want...
street vendor food.
Do you want cafeteria food or street vendor food?
I want to go to your favorite pub.
Yeah.
Take us to your local.
Take us to your local.
Okay.
The pub's not open for like another 6 hours.
You're going to have to wait... afterwards.
Well, take us like the place you'd go on your lunch break.
Take them to the equivalent of the Mexican street vendor.
Yeah, it's spicy food.
Yeah, and you've got the safe white man menu.
Yeah.
Then you've got the medium sort of mid-range spice. And then you've got the, oh dear God, what have I done?
You've got the menu.
The tiefling menu.
Interestingly enough, it's not the tieflings that this is for. It's mostly dwarfs.
Oh, the dwarf menu.
Because...
yeah. Do you want a human hot, tiefling hot, or dwarf hot?
Yeah, because here's a fun fact. That's a poison reaction.
But yeah, so I'm one of the few tiefling regulars.
Food.
So yeah, I will take the... last time I was here, I was run by this like old dwarven couple.
Yeah.
That, and I loved it to bits because...
it's the same couple.
Yes!
They see you, it's just like, oh, it's been a while.
Yeah,
the usual?
Yes.
Still remember that?
Indeed.
I want a chalupa, please. Yes.
Out of character, I have no idea what that is.
It's like a tortilla, kind of, but thicker. And...
dwarves make Mexican food in the city?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I guess it kind of makes sense because a lot of Mexican utensils were stone.
Not only that, but a lot of seasonings are poisons. And dwarves are naturally poison resistant. So how I tend to run dwarves is that all of their food is insanely strongly flavored.
Yeah.
Some dwarf cooks can't cook for humans because they're just like, can I put this in here without poisoning the human? It's like, I can't put salt in this. It's a rock and humans can't eat rocks.
Then humans eat it and they're like, oh, why is dwarven food so bland?
Yeah.
But hot.
Bland but hot!
So yeah, I'll have my usual and I'll get them order.
Yeah. The Ishigar swamps.
Uh-huh.
I've been thinking about people who live in swamps, so I've been imagining it almost kind of Cajun-y.
Yeah.
So is Magnus used to a bit of spice?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's spice ranges because variety helps give customers.
Magnus is going to go 4 out of 5 chili peppers.
Tanwyn was raised on roasts. So she would like to go for...
chili peppers.
Half chili pepper. She's been working on her spice tolerance, and it's been going, you know.
I'll help them find something within their spice range and then take it over to some picnic benches that are probably haphazardly organized.
Yeah, there are bookworms around trying to snag any scraps, like full-on seagull behavior.
Go away.
Ignore them. They're not going away.
They're basically rats.
I like the idea that everybody here is kind of quick and mobile and a little bit bolshy, which means that when Magnus and Tanwyn get brushed past or almost shoulder check for the first time, they're like, oh, we're fighting! And Amadeus has to be like, no, we're not fighting!
Normally, Amadeus hates being attacked and...
everybody's just pinballing off each other and he's in his element, he knows where he's going.
Yeah, and he's like, he doesn't care. It's like, this is home! Yeah.
We're going to cut away from lunch and skip forward a little bit.
No constitution rolls for spice?
No. It's probably a little hotter than both of you are comfortable with, but it's tasty enough that it doesn't matter. But we're going to cut forward a little bit to Amadeus waking up in bed.
What?
Oh, wait, Amadeus was sleeping?
Yes. Hearing a sound that he's all too familiar with.
No!
You awaken in a room you've never seen before with a throbbing headache.
Oh.
Like somebody had bludgeoned you.
I've got to stop drinking with Tanwyn.
The first thing you notice, other than the fact that the ceiling that you are looking at is not a familiar ceiling, is the sound of that infernal Aslonian silverback.
There's that bird. I am going to kill it and kill it with fire.
As you think that, something in your mind clicks. There are no Aslonian silverbacks around here. Not in Paradon. They might, in theory, get blown over from Maritamen in a storm, but they are deep inland birds. They aren't coastal. And as you think that, the smell of sea salt hits your nose.
Ooh. I wasn't anywhere near... The hell am I doing near the coast?
Give me either a wisdom saving throw or a flat intelligence check.
They are both the same number, unfortunately. 7.
You try to recall how you ended up here, but it's foggy.
Okay.
The last thing you remember was going down into...
Storage.
Where all the originals are kept.
Yeah. And I woke up from sleep.
Yeah, which is very strange for you.
Because I haven't done that in well over a decade.
Yeah. Thankfully, the bed you're in is super comfortable.
What am I wearing?
You are not wearing clothes you recognize.
Oh, no.
They are, first of all, very comfortable, very soft, very good cotton. They are also ostentatious.
Okay, I get up immediately.
As you do, you notice a holy symbol on the wall, like a mural or something.
Is it Artifer's holy symbol?
No, but it is one you recognize from your time cataloging. It is the holy symbol of a different dragon god from a land far south, one by the name of Gidanov.
Ooh.
The willow tree dragon.
Okay.
There is an open window by your bed.
I walk out the window.
And you see just this strange landscape that, again, you don't recognize it because you've never seen it before, but it is familiar in a way as you find yourself high up in a castle situated at the top of the hill with the rest of the city sprawling down the side of it out to the coast. All of the buildings, however, are uniquely shaped, kind of like teardrops, with these thick reinforced walls facing the coast and these pointed tops pointing up towards the castle. And something in your brain goes, that's to defend against tidal waves. Why do I know that? And then the title of a story gets pulled out of your memory, one that you read in the million stories that you did for cataloging. A romance novel of all things called The Lord of High Tides.
What am I doing in a romance novel? Ah!
But the weird thing is, The Lord of High Tides doesn't have Aslonian silverbacks, nor does it have the willow tree dragon in it.
Okay. I'm assuming I'm in sleepwear.
Ankle length, like sleeping robes.
Is there a dresser or...
Yeah.
Pulling out clothes?
Noble clothes, but... All of them are in purples, reds, and oranges.
I am not letting Tanwyn anywhere near this room.
And as you're getting changed, there is a horrid knock at the door. Unfortunately, that is all the time that we have at the moment. There is more to this story that will be shared when next we meet.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.